We're turning this morning, if you have your Bibles, to the 24th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 24. We want to begin reading at the first verse. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scripture? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me hath. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of an honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Let's bow together as we ask the Lord's blessing on his word. Heavenly Father, as we've come once again to consider the glorious story of the resurrection, how we do pray that you will open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. We know that we need not simply to read historical facts. We need for this word to be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path as we seek to walk in thy way in this age and in this hour. We're praying that the Spirit of God might be our teacher, to take these words to enlighten our minds and hearts, that the Lord Jesus might be glorified. We pray these things in his name. Amen. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is unique in all of human history. It's unique in all of religious history. The false religions of the world have their spiritual leaders, but none of them have been willing to make the claim that they have risen from the dead. It's only the Lord Jesus, of all the great religious leaders of the world, who makes that claim. And that's because there are no great religious leaders who don't have the power to rise from the dead. There is no one who is the truth other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the one who is willing and able to do something about the condition of mankind. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus has been called the most thoroughly authenticated connection with the Lord's rising from the dead. If there's any one thing that stands out as strange or unusual in the midst of this total picture, it's not that God manifest in the flesh would be able to come out of the grave. There's nothing very strange about that. If you're the God who created the worlds, if you're the God who brought man into being, then certainly it should be a relatively simple matter to rise from the dead. But the thing that is really strange and outstanding in the midst of all this is the continuing pattern of unbelief, which was evident in the lives of so many. You would think that the 11 disciples who had been with the Lord Jesus for several years would know him well enough to know by that time that they could implicitly trust him. They could claim the promise of the resurrection without a great deal of understanding about the details. And yet when the women came to the 12, or to the 11 rather, Judas having gone his own way, the Bible says here in verse 11 that their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed not. It's not exactly the kind of thing you'd expect from a wonderful Christian. Then there were the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. We read about them. We read how they actually walked and talked with the Lord Jesus Christ. Had a personal conversation with him. And yet, to them, the Lord had to say in verse 25, "O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." They didn't believe that the Lord Jesus was alive either, even though they were walking along the road there talking to him for a long period of time. With these things in mind, I want you to turn back for just a moment to the 16th chapter of Luke. Luke chapter 16. And notice what we read at verse 19. "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they that would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." In these verses, the Lord Jesus Christ is telling about a man who died and went to hell. He's tormented in the flame. We see a man here who is suffering the agony of a lost soul. That was not exactly what he had in mind. In the world, he was a man of wealth and position. He was a man who enjoyed life in the way that he wanted to enjoy it. But now he was someone who came to the realization that he had made a terrible mistake. All his life, he'd been trusting in his own understanding. He'd been trusting in his own riches and his own ability. He lived for this world with no thought for eternity. But now that he had died and gone to hell, he had begun to look at things from a little different perspective. That's not an unusual case, by the way. Can you imagine what a shock it would be to step off the throne of England to be tormented in the flames of hell? Can you imagine what it would be to go from the presidency of the United States or from some lofty position in society to suffering in the fire that God has prepared for the devil and his angels? Can you imagine what it would be to be riding down the road, drinking a few beers, listening to some good rock music, having a good time, and a few seconds later, compliments of a tractor trailer, you're being tormented in the flame? It changes your perspective completely. It helps you come to the realization that indeed God does tell the truth. And here you are in the lake of fire, condemned under the wrath of God with no possibility of escape forever. That could help you understand a great many things. And it's just that type of thing that happened to the man the Lord was describing here in the 16th chapter of Luke. He didn't intend to die. He didn't intend to go to hell. And yet there he was. Now, when you're tormented in the flames, when the agony is real and intense and personal, when you know that it's going to last forever, it's too late to make excuses. You stop trying to pretend that God's word is not true. And that's exactly what this man did. You don't see him talking about any possibility of him escaping hell because he knew that there was no escape. You don't see him remorseful with regard to his own salvation because when you're lost, when you go to hell lost, you remain with that lost attitude forever. Instead, this man turned his attention to people who were still walking on the earth, people for whom it was not too late. In verse 27 of Luke chapter 16, this lost soul came up with an idea. He said, "Why not let Lazarus rise from the dead? He's saved. He's forgiven of all his sin. I can see him there in the place of blessing, rejoicing. Why not let Lazarus rise from the dead and go to my father's house? Because I have five brothers who are still living. And I don't want them to end up in this place of torment." But you'll notice that in verse 29, Abraham said, they have a Bible. They have the writings of Moses and the prophets. Let them believe the Bible. In verse 30, the lost man in hell put it very succinctly in a little two-letter word in our common usage of English. He said, no. He knew his brothers weren't going to believe the Bible, because he knew that he had lived all his life. He had the Bible. He didn't believe it. Abraham said, they have the Bible. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them believe the Bible. The man said, no. But if someone rose from the dead and went to them, they would repent. Notice carefully what the Lord said in verse 31. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, if they won't believe the Bible, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. You see, somebody has risen from the dead. Not Lazarus. The Lord Jesus Christ himself. The Lord Jesus has risen from the dead. But as he pointed out on this occasion, the historic fact of the resurrection never saved anybody. People don't believe because somebody's risen from the dead. People do not repent, to use the terminology of the 30th verse, because someone has risen from the dead. The testimony of this passage is that men only repent when they're faced with the reality of the message of the Word of God. Moses said, or Abraham said, let them believe Moses and the prophets. Now the question is, why can't people believe the record of the resurrection and get saved? The answer to that is vital to our understanding of the message that God seeks to communicate to mankind. Sin is the problem. Sin has separated us from God. Sin is the reason for repentance. Sin is the reason that this man went to hell to be tormented in the flames. And our sin was not dealt with at the resurrection. Sin was dealt with at the cross. It is not the resurrection of Christ, it is the blood of Christ which cleanses us from all sin. I'm sure you remember that when the Lord Jesus said, "It is finished," He didn't say that from the tomb. He didn't say it outside the tomb as He had left it after His resurrection. The Lord said, "It is finished," as He hung upon the cross. He said it as He came to that moment in time where He laid down His life for your sins and mine. Certainly the resurrection of Christ is a vital part of Christianity. It's the stamp of the approval of heaven upon His life and upon His death. But it was there upon the cross of Calvary that the Lord Jesus suffered the just for the unjust that He might bring us to God. Having made peace through the blood of His cross, He reconciled man to Himself. The resurrection is something that was inevitable in the light of the crucifixion. It was absolutely impossible that the Lord Jesus should remain in the grave in view of the fact that He died a sinless death. Even though the sin of man was placed upon Him, even though He was our substitute and bore our sins in His own body on the tree, the Lord Jesus Christ was delivered from the grave because of who He was. Because He was the sinless Lamb of God who was there to take away the sin of the world. When the Lord Jesus arose from the dead, He returned to men who were still living. Neither did they believe, though one arose from the dead. There's an important distinction that we need to make. If you're lost today, the resurrection has very little to do with you. And that's really what we're thinking about this morning, is the resurrection. If you're lost this morning, you need to consider the verses that we've just read here in the 16th chapter of Luke. You know the ones about this fellow who thought he was never going to die? The one who was enjoying himself so much in this world and then in a moment of time woke up tormented in the flames, knowing that God's word was true. And he had made an error in judgment that was going to cost him forever. In order to be delivered from the wrath to come, you don't focus your attention on the resurrection. Because the Bible says if you won't hear the word of God, you won't believe though somebody rose from the dead. You must focus your attention upon the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ came and died as your substitute upon the cross. He bore your sins. He suffered for you that you might see the need and trust Him and have the gift of eternal life. But let's go back to Luke chapter 24 for a moment. Because I think there's everything in the way of scriptural reasoning to testify to the fact that we're talking about saved people in this passage. The two men walking on the road to Emmaus, they were a part of the company of the Lord's people. They said in verse 22, certain women also of our company. They went back and they talked to the 11. Kind of disturbs your theology to suppose at any point along here that the 11 were not saved. We're talking about saved people in this passage. And as we see the story beginning, let's look again at Luke chapter 24 at verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Now here were two of the Lord's followers. They were walking down the road to Emmaus, and the Lord came near and began to walk with them. These were saved people. Saved people trying to exist in the light of the fact that they were in serious trouble as far as they could understand. The Lord had been crucified. Everything that they believed seemed to be in turmoil. But you'll notice in these verses that the Lord came to them, he talked to them, and he set before them not answers, but questions. He said, What manner of communications are these that ye have one with another as ye walk and are sad? He said that in verse 17. They tried to explain the situation to him. They told him something about the problem. In verse 19, he said unto them, What things? You know, the only reason that an omniscient God ever asks a question is for our sakes, not for his. There's never been a question that he didn't know the answer to. But there are tremendous numbers of questions that we don't know the answer to. And the only way we're ever going to find the answer is to recognize the question. To consider carefully the situation in which we find ourselves in the light of what the Word of God has to say. Now look at verse 31 of this 24th chapter. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the Scriptures? The Lord had been talking to them about the Bible. And as a result of their contact with the Scriptures, they came to understand the situation. That's why he said in verse 25, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. Four times in these verses, the Bible is mentioned as the source of revelation. We saw in Luke chapter 16 that spiritual truth cannot be known by natural means. The Lord said, nobody's going to believe simply because somebody rises from the dead. Spiritual truth cannot be known by natural means. And here in this passage, the 24th of Luke, written exclusively for believers, we find the same principle in operation. Why would we not think that the same would be true in our Christian life that's true in connection with our salvation? Spiritual truth cannot be known by natural means. Then in verse 33, we see that these two men came to the 11 disciples and went back to Jerusalem. They found the 11, told them what had happened. The 11 were not convinced. In verse 36, the Lord himself stood in the midst of them. Still they were not convinced. They thought they'd seen a spirit. But now look at verse 44, and you'll see how the Lord dealt with their unbelief. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. Two more times in these verses, we're told that the Bible is the source of revelation. He pointed it out in connection with the men who were walking the road to Emmaus. He pointed it out in connection with the unbelieving disciples in the upper room. Now look at two more verses. Verse 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the Scriptures? Verse 45. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. In both cases, the Lord opened their understanding. From all these things that we've been looking at for the last few minutes, we should be able to come to some understanding of the Lord's dealing with each one of us. First of all, we have these verses in the Bible. We have this confrontation with the resurrection in order to make us aware of the serious problem that we have with unbelief. These people were in contact with the risen Lord, but they couldn't see him. They could see him physically. They couldn't see him spiritually. In other words, they were like us. They were looking at their circumstances, but they couldn't see the risen Lord at work in their circumstances. They walked down the road and he was there. They held conversations and he was there. They ate meals together and he was there. As they looked around at the circumstances they faced, these verses tell us that they were sad, they were afraid, they were troubled, they were sorrowful, they were discouraged. But they could not see the risen Lord at work in this situation of life. These people were saved. The men on the road to Emmaus, the 11 disciples, all of them were saved. They had trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. They trusted that it had been he who had redeemed Israel. He had died for them. That had already been accomplished. He had risen for them. That had already been accomplished. And even though they were unaware of all that had been accomplished on their behalf, they were saved. As I pointed out to you in Luke 16, the fact of the resurrection is not God's message to the lost. His message to them is the blood of the cross. Nobody will ever repent because somebody has risen from the dead. The resurrection is God's message to believers. He wants us to come to the realization that the Lord Jesus is alive. And we cannot know Him by natural means. Even after salvation, we cannot know Him by natural means. Unbelief follows like a dark cloud. It hangs over the world. It hangs over the lives of individuals. This plague of unbelief that we see in the lives of these people. The Lord is alive, but we can't see it. We refuse to admit that He is living, that He is working in every circumstance of life. Just like these people, we get troubled and discouraged and sorrowful, as though the Lord were still dead. But He's not. He's very much alive. And not only is He alive, He is in control of the circumstances which come to the life of every believer. These people thought their world had come to an end. But instead of their world having come to an end, things couldn't have been any better. They just didn't have the spiritual perception to see that. This is not to say that they had no problems. But you have to remember that they didn't have a single problem except the ones that the Lord had allowed to come to their life. That's the only problems you have today if you're saved. Just the ones the Lord allowed to come to your life. And in the midst of all this, the Lord Jesus came on the scene. He came with a mission, and He came with a message. The mission with which the Lord Jesus came, for which He came, was to stop these people from being troubled. He came to stop them from being afraid and confused and all the other byproducts of unbelief. The Lord Jesus came to do something about this horrendous condition which His people were in at that particular point. He came with a mission, and He came with a message. The mission was to stop them from being troubled and discouraged and afraid. And the message that He had was very simple. He said, look to the Word of God. He said to these people, don't look at your immediate circumstances. You're trying to figure out eternal purpose by natural means, and that cannot be done. He said to them, look at the Word of God. Look at Moses. Look at the prophets. Look at the Psalms. Look at all the Scriptures. When you look at the Word of God, you'll see that no sinner has ever gotten anything that he didn't deserve. You'll see that no problem has ever existed that the Lord can't solve. When you look at the Word of God, you'll see that no man has ever hindered God's eternal purpose. You'll see that nobody in the world ever gets the punishment they deserve for their sin. When you look at the Word of God, you'll see that all things work together for good to them that love God. You'll see that no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Now here are these people living in the midst of the greatest age in human history. But they couldn't see it because of their unbelief. Here they were having an opportunity that no generation before or since would have. They couldn't see it because of their unbelief. They had literally been called to know the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. But they couldn't see it because of unbelief. The Lord Jesus was with them. In fact, He had caused the very circumstances that were troubling them at that moment. But they couldn't see it because of unbelief. Now let me ask you a question. Why did a God of love allow these people to be in such a terrible situation? I mean, they were saved. They were children of God. Why would he allow this great confusion to come to their life? This sorrow, this discouragement. The instant that the Lord came out of the tomb, he could have burned a telepathic message into the brain of every believer that would never depart. He could have said simply, "I'm alive." And they would have known it. But he didn't do that. Verse 45 says, he opened their understanding. Verse 31 says, the Lord opened their eyes and they recognized him. Eventually the Lord did it for them. But the question is, why did he allow them to be troubled and sorrowful and afraid and discouraged for so long? The answer is the same concerning them as it is for you and me. We have this problem. We don't realize, even after salvation, just how ungodly we are. We resent what the Lord allows. Very often we resent what the Lord allows. We question his wisdom in letting things be the way they are. When a new set of troublesome circumstances comes along, we act as though God is a liar and the Bible's not true. Oh, we're incredibly spiritual as long as someone else has the problem. I mean, if they're the ones who are troubled and sorrowful, we just can't figure out why they don't believe the Bible. The Lord let this trouble come to their life to remind them that they were not quite as spiritual as they appeared. They said they were trusting the Lord, but what about now? They said that they believed in walking by faith and not by sight, but what about now? The simple fact of the matter is that we all claim to believe in the resurrection, we just don't like act like it. That means the Lord must walk with us and talk with us in the midst of some pretty terrible situations until we get the message. That's what he did with these people. If the Lord is alive and you're trusting him, what's the problem? If he is alive and allowing only that which you need to come to your life, what's the problem? When we lose our peace, we're not in fellowship with him. Because the Bible says he is our peace. When we lose our joy, we're not in fellowship with the risen Lord, because the Bible says in his presence is fullness of joy. The bad news of the resurrection is that even though the Lord is alive, we cannot see him in our circumstances if we're living in unbelief. The good news of the resurrection is that whether for salvation or survival in the Christian life, he will open our understanding if we humble our heart before him. Let's bow together as we close in prayer. Our Father, we're grateful indeed that we can come to thy word and see here a personal message concerning the risen Lord Jesus. How we pray that you'll apply that message to the heart of each one who's come this way this morning. We know that when this many people come together, there must be those here who are lost. We pray that you'll help them to see that They will not repent because the Lord Jesus rose from the dead. We pray that you'll help them to see that repentance will only come when they acknowledge the truth of thy word, the sinfulness of their lost condition, and put their faith and trust in the Savior. We pray that as thy people we might understand afresh the reason for this extensive record in the Bible, this catalog of unbelief, to show us that even these men of God who walked personally with the Lord Jesus had a serious problem in this regard. We know that we need your help and your blessing not to be in rebellion against that which you allow to come to our life. We need the peace and the joy that can only come from the presence of the risen Lord Jesus. We ask that it might be given, that thy name might be exalted in the lives of each one of us here today. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.